This is another of those conflict stories that are part of Mark's gospel in a particular way at this point. Pharisees and Herodians had nothing in common. Pharisees were zealous for the law. Herodians were zealous for political power. And they sided with Herod, whom the Pharisees considered a usurper. He wasn't even fully Jewish. He was part Idumean. Now, what would bring them together? Hatred. Hatred of Jesus. So they're sent to Jesus to ensnare him in his speech. Now, if you've ever lived in the Mediterranean, especially over in the Middle East, you can feel what's going on here. Teacher, they don't mean a word of this. We know that you are a truthful man, that you are not concerned with anyone's opinion. They're trying to build him up so he'll make a mistake. You see, you do not regard a person's status. And they even go so far as to say, you teach the way of God. Well, then why don't they listen to it? You teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. All oil, you know, greasy, slick. They're trying to kill him. They want the people to hate him. Is it lawful to pay the census tax to Caesar or not? Should we pay or should we not pay? Now, you can figure out yourself what will happen. Yes, you should pay. He loses all the people who find the Roman occupation a burden. If he says, don't pay, ha, the Romans will go after him. So what's he saying? First, knowing their hypocrisy. Hypocrisies in Greek comes from a prompter in an act, you know, in a play. Why are you testing me? Now the word there is pirazin, which is what the devil is, the tempter. So they're playing the role of the devil. Why are you tempting? Bring me a denarius to look at. It's a silver coin with the emperor's image on it. And it belongs to the emperor, you know. Whose image and inscription is this? Caesar's. So Jesus said to them, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. And to God, what belongs to God. And that principle has established the way the church lives in any secular government. What is due? Somebody has to collect the taxes and fix the roads, and you know, that's quite legitimate. And people should be voted into those offices and do them well. But abortion does not belong to Caesar. The life of every human being belongs to God. There's no way we can pay that. And the law, the Roe v. Wade law, you see, is a blasphemous law. It's saying the state has the right to decide who lives and who dies. Once that principle is admitted, Catholics live or die. I remember trying to get this point across. Robbie George, a very fine lawyer, professor of law at Princeton, a very profoundly Catholic layman. And we were at a meeting someplace. And he said, well, you know, Suppose Congress tomorrow passed a law that open season on Koreans. You can shoot them anywhere you see them. How long before the bishops, 20 minutes, they'd all be gathered together fighting for the life of these people who were just declared open season. And yet every infant in the womb, open season. See, we cannot pay that to Caesar. It's that simple. Or so many of the other things, same-sex marriage. The state does not have the right to say what is a marriage. God has already done that. It doesn't have the right. Now, law creates culture. Positive example, the integration between the African Americans and the whites. That was affected by law. You remember there were riots and some silly things like busing kids, you know, just to make sure the school was integrated. But the law was instructing people about the right and dignity of every human being. I remember I didn't see any television from about 1950 to about 65 maybe, let's say. When I left, I'd seen one television thing. It was the marvel of the day, you know, in 1947 or wherever I saw this. Blue box like this, you know, with a picture of a basketball game. So I came and I sat down at a TV set to watch a football game. And the thing that was most amazing to me was how many African Americans were in the stands and not just on the field. The change had been amazing. So law can instruct. But when law is evil, it instructs to evil. And people say, well, the law says, huh? So the law says you can shoot Koreans wherever you find them. Bang! Of course, that's so silly, but that was Robbie George's point. You can kill any child in the womb if it's uncomfortable or you don't want it. You can't do that. That's why this beautiful 40 days for life now. I encourage you to go over it sometimes and just stand there and pray. The leader, Dave Barites, told a funny story. They just finished a huge campaign against this very fellow. Or at least he was part of their object of their campaign. You know, praying outside and all the rest. And it was over. He was taking a plane somewhere else. He got on the plane. And what do you know? He sat between Cathart and his wife. So they texted one another the whole time. They didn't talk at all. It's kind of funny. But you see this principle that our Lord lays down with such simplicity is what governs Christian morality in the public sphere. Of course we honor Caesar. As I told you before in the first letter of Timothy, let there be prayer every day, you know, with hands raised at the liturgy, you know, for kings and rulers and all. During the time probably when Paul was writing that, Nero was the emperor. So pray for Nero. He is risking hell, assuming to himself the right to claim what is a legitimate religion and what is not, and killing those who were considered to be practicing an illegitimate religion, namely Christianity. Anyway, you get the picture, right? So now, do something about it. Pray. And, you know, if your health is good, go out and, you know, pray. pray outside that abortion clinic, not only to save the infants, but ultimately to save the abortionist.